Welcome to Wellness Radio with Dr. Jeanette Gallagher as your host. Her show discusses topics of health, wellness, and spirituality and is about discovering your place in this great universe from your cells to the cosmos. Along with her guest, in casual conversation, she strives to ask the difficult questions that may be holding you back from a vibrant life and shares new ideas that may inspire you to make a change in your life that you only can see in your dreams. And now, here is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Wellness Radio. This is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher, and it's a pleasure to have you with us here this evening. Tonight, we are going to go on a gentle, spiritual, philosophical journey, a journey through our mind, our thoughts, our existence, our essence, and our soul. Many of these days in the year 2020 have been speaking about our spiritual journey. There has to be so much more to us in this human existence. There has to be something so much more. Why are we here? Who are we? Where are we going? How did we get here? If we truly look at it, many times people will say, oh, I don't know, and they're looking for a guru, a helper, or a guide. Perhaps history is our helper and our guide. When we look back at Buddhists, Tao, we look back Sufis in the past, we look back and we say there's been a lot of very ancient, really esoteric philosophical thoughts that we can now bring forward. Are we taking things from the past? Are we circling back around? Or perhaps are we seeing how we are going forward? Maybe in between all of that other dogma and those lifetimes, we can kind of let it go and not give it so much credence to be able to say that life is hard. This is a difficult time, but we are truly not going to make it. We really will. My guest today is Michael J. Snow. His book is Mindful Philosophy. Michael, thank you so much for joining us today. It's a pleasure to have you with us.
It's a great pleasure. Thank you, Dr. Jeanette.
Oh, Michael, don't you think this year, 2020, we say, are we coming into a point of where there's more seekers, more conversations, and more letting go of the past to be able to come into connecting our identities within the ancient wisdom?
Yeah. Well, the point is that if you hang on to the past and if you hang on to your habits, you're hanging on to a life of restriction and limitedness, and you won't be very happy. If you look around you, you're going to see that the people who are happy tend not to be hanging on to anything because they're living life in the moment. Living life in the moment means that they're free. And what are they free of? They're free of ideas, limitations, desires, and fears. So let's just surrender all of that and try and live in the present moment.
You know, I think the current events of the year 2020 is giving us a time to stop, to pause, and say, okay, whatever that train I was on, it's gone to nowhere. It has now run out of fuel. And now we have a time of silence, almost I call it of self-induced kind of forced into meditation in the moment, or kind of time of disconnecting from ecstatic energy flow, don't you think?
Well, the train that you were on, we think the train is a real train, chuffing away up and down through its depths and through its uplifts. But actually, we see that the train never was a train. There was a still point within which the train operates. And we forget about the still point within which the train operates. And I've got a funny feeling, really, that all the problems that are now existing in the world with the disease and everything else, we're going to put these into some kind of perspective. And I've got a feeling that if we can simply see things as they truly, truly are, that we will not be discomforted by this so much. And I think we'll see a very different perspective. And maybe we'll be reorganizing our values so that environmental and global concerns start to really mean something to people and not just be some academic idea that we ought to be making the world a better place.
I think also to the idea of truth, Michael. It's whose truth? Your truth, my truth. It's not the truth. It's false. It's an illusion.
Yeah.
We see these words tossed around all the time. And truly, that's what gives us this static kind of chaos.
Yeah. Now, you've hit a very, very important point, Dr. Jeanette, because I've got a feeling that there is no such thing as my truth or your truth.
Right.
Because truth isn't somewhere over there where you're trying to go. Truth is where you're coming from. If you're coming from truth, you're coming from a perspective of unity. If you're coming from a perspective of unity, you see the world in a wholly different place and your values change. So yes, mm-hmm. There's nothing wrong with my truth and your truth, but they're just belief systems. They're not
right.
What I would call the ultimate truth.
What if there really was no such thing as truth and there was something just called presence? Because
yeah.
Truth kind of seems to confine us. Truth says it's a stability and it's carried forth. In other words, it's almost like a nail in the ground kind of idea, you know, whereas
yeah.
Presence is something that's ever evolving.
Truth. The only, I don't think I can give you any other example of the truth other than this statement, I am.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Not
right.
I am something. I am is a statement of truth. And I think if you go back to, for example, the ancient Greeks with the idea that on the tablets in Delphi were the words, man, know thyself. Self-knowledge is what's being described. And the statement, I am, is true, because I don't think any of the listeners to this program are going to find it easy to state with authority, I am not, because who is it who's saying it?
Right, right. Yeah, I think also, too, the idea of I am almost depicts a void, though, because you're pretty much not in that presence of having a label, having an identity,
yeah.
having something to hold on to. And I'll
yeah.
tell you, humans are very quite uncomfortable of
yeah.
not having validation, safety, and security. So by saying I am, what are you really having a belief in?
We have a persona and we have an identity and we have all the attributes that kit us up for life. And these are the things, to use your words, these are the things we hang on to. And that's absolutely fine. I don't have a problem with that. What I'm suggesting is that behind all of that is a simple consciousness, a simple essence. And that simple consciousness or essence is actually really, really, really what you are. Which is why I'm trying to introduce philosophy into the world of mindfulness, because it asks the big questions. Who really am I? What really am I? What is the purpose of my life? Where am I going? What is the meaning of all of this? And the philosopher's job is to come to terms with those questions. I'm not sure that there are any answers, but it's very good to ask the questions.
Right. I think almost that philosophy tries to assist us
yeah.
in shedding some of the human cloaks that we wear. I almost find it that as we age, you know, I'm in my 60s, we seem to have more and more cloaks put upon us, like your father, your work, your job, your kids, your relationships, your money,
yeah.
your legacy. And in essence, philosophy tends to say, are you willing to shed that and be a little bit lighter in your essence? Yes?
Yeah, that's a good point, because I think there is the problem that we can get heavy, and we don't want to get heavy. The whole point is to
right.
get light, and by surrendering and by accepting that all these ideas of what we are fine up to a point, but they're not really, really what we are. So, you know, here I am. I've got a name. It's called Michael, and I've got a job. I'm a philosopher. I also have other roles in society. I'm a father. I'm a son. I'm a philosophy tutor. I'm a philosophy student. I'm
right.
a gardener, I'm a singer, I do lots of things. But they're all just labels. They're not really what I am. The thing that is important is that there's a common link between all these labels, and that is I.
Mm-hmm.
Who is this I that thinks he's a father, son, singer, gardener, philosopher, etc., etc.
Well, I think also, too, in the idea is that each one of those labels, as they quantify us, they tend to set us apart. You know, when you go
yes.
into a room, you know,
right.
you end up with more and more concepts of separate, a separation. And in essence, we're truly trying to find out about our commonality, our, you know, of the all, you know, I am the all. And if we're truly trying to get there, then we say, but you mean I have to let go of that? Right?
Yes, you do. But you make a good point because, I mean, they on the face of it, they set us apart. But they only do that if we think they're real. And
right.
of course they have their reality up to a point. But the great thing about, if you look in the great wisdom traditions across the globe, and I'm looking at Christianity, and I'm also looking at the Hindu, and I'm looking at the Sufis, the mystical side of Islam, and I'm also very mm-hmm. much looking at the Native American tradition, you will find that everything is referenced, and it's referenced to the spirit, or the essence, or the monad, or God, or the Buddha within, or whatever term you think is appropriate. It doesn't matter what term you use, it's just a name. But there is within you and I and everybody listening a spiritual essence, and we need to close with that. We need to realize what that is.
Right. And I think what's kind of cool in a way is that if everybody can do their own kind of, I call it spiraling into the black hole. You know, you speak to someone, they'll be like, well, I'm not going down that black hole. And I'd say, but that black
yeah.
hole is actually the void. It takes
yeah.
away all of this other stuff. So let's go into the black hole, because when you get at the end, you go, I don't know. And then once
yeah.
you get into the unknown, then,
yes, Jeanette,
then
yes, you're right. I mean,
yeah.
the unknown, I mean, nobody knows. I don't know.
Yeah.
I know what I know, but I can't convince anybody else of that. And that's the honest
right.
position. But rather than go down a black hole, I want us to go down a white light.
Mm-hmm.
You can't switch on the dark. You can switch on the light. And that's the point. Mm-hmm. Within us all is the light, which we put dust on. We cover over. So I want us to blow the dust off, so that the light can really shine. And that's the way to true human unity and happiness in my book.
Well, also, too, let's think about this for a second, Michael, because
yeah.
there is a paradigm. In other words, everything has a left to right. It has, it goes from 0 to 100. There
yeah.
are all of these densities and frequencies all along. It's a left to right existence that we're in. So people will say, but I don't measure up. So if you're in the darkness, you can definitely be just thrilled because bats don't seek out light, you know, and the sun does not seek out darkness. So in essence, wherever you are on that paradigm is just a release for your own self in the present moment, in that present space. It's not about, I have to get to the sun. I have to shake off my dark. No, it's about the presence in the space wherever you are. If you're in the darkness, you're just shaking it off that I have to, I will, in other words, like I will only be in perfection if I can find the sun and I'm in a cave. Not
yeah.
really.
Well, no, I'm with you on that, actually.
Yeah.
If there's any idea that I must shake this off, well, I think that's not a helpful state to be in.
Yeah.
It's better to simply become completely present with whatever is now in front of you, so that the mind is not concerned about shaking things off. The mind is just quiet. Now, if the mind is just quiet, the true beauty and magnificence of the creation in which we inhabit will be revealed. But it cannot be revealed unless we're present. So it's not about denying things, and it's not
right.
about running away from things. It's about putting the priorities in order. So let's start just by being quiet and by being really present and going through, for example, you could just go through the senses. If you really, really listen, you really,
mm-hmm.
really look, and you really, really touch and be in touch, the world immediately becomes a completely different place, does
right.
it not?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it's so interesting. At one time, someone had said to me, they said, well, who are you? And I could sense that there wasn't an answer that I was going to give that would suffice what they were looking for. And I had this vision of a Rolodex in my head spiraling through all of the things that I am that might connect with them. In other words, what are you seeking? Dial it up on the Rolodex and let me know, you know? I think sometimes for every engagement that we have in the world, we are looking for that equal and unopposed validation, don't you think?
Yes. We're looking for something. We're looking for the equal validation.
Mm-hmm.
But there is a lot of merit in just stopping all the doing, and in particular, stopping trying to look for any result.
Mm-hmm.
Just stop and be. We're human beings. We're not human doings.
Yeah.
And I think we need to close with this notion that we are beings. I think Shakespeare had a lovely line, didn't he? To be or not to be, that is the question.
Right. You know, it's interesting, you know, in the year 2020 with our great stoppage, I'll say we haven't stopped anything. All we've just done is taken off our business clothes and had a seat. You know, I'm waiting for the internet to go down or something like that, so that it will truly disconnect us. I think we are, all we've done is just change the station on the radio, but we've still got it blaring in our head, don't you think?
Well, you see, there's a lot of merit in just coming straight back to the senses. Now, you and I have never met, but you and I are now having a discussion, and those listening are entering into the discussion. And without attention, okay, without attention,
right,
this discussion means nothing.
Mm-hmm.
But because you and I and everybody listening are attending to this discussion, it'll mean something. Some will disagree, some will agree. But there will at least be some kind of unity, and there'll be some kind of appraisal with everybody that we just have to put the values straight. And that's kindness and light and love and joy and all these things. Let them be brought to the fore. And
right,
it might mean surrendering a lot of the stuff that we thought was important, but we've now discovered due to the COVID-19 that it might not be as important as we all thought. Isn't that
right,
marvelous?
Absolutely. Well, you know, Michael, also in your book, you talk about the Native American tradition, you know. And I wrote on the top, of the page, you know, I had circled the world, Great Spirit, and we think about ancestors. And we say, are there teachers of wisdom that come along to help us along our spiritual journey?
Yes. The world is full of teachers who help us along our journey. And the best possible teacher is whoever is in front of you. Whoever is in front of you is your teacher. They will teach you something. Now, if you think that isn't enough, you can attend a group, a class, a yoga session. You can read. You can progress it. And when the disciple is ready, the master arises. So we can't be judge of it. But let's just take the first step. And the first step is to listen and attend to whatever and whoever is now in front of you.
Right. You know, I think the idea is, can we just, can we just like align ourselves, just stop? You know, you think about the word void, you know, you talk about in your book, and I think of the word void, and we say Christ consciousness, that quietness, that peace, the I am all.
Yeah.
And I think sometimes people get freaked out by the words. They're like, oh, I don't do religion. I don't know what you're talking about. This stuff doesn't make sense. And instead of being able to just sit and breathe in and breathe out for the moment, they're consistently running around in circles around it in avoidance or resistance.
No, it's a very good point. I mean, I'm not against formalized religion, so long as it's seen to be what it is. It's a tool. It's not the ultimate goal.
Right.
It can be helpful to some people. I mean, if you find it helpful, I should stick with it. I mean, if you're listening to this and you're a Christian, my advice is be a better Christian, because the words of Jesus, as are the words of the Buddha, they are unsurpassable. It's magnificent teaching. You can't distill the words that were written by Jesus any more than you can distill the words that were written by Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita. They say
right.
the same thing.
Yeah.
So if you want to use a metaphor, the present is the same present, but the wrapping paper's very different, because
right.
different wrapping papers are required for different cultures at different times in human history.
Yeah. It's almost as if we're still, there's this one thing that's there, and all we've done in all these lifetimes is just consistently dance around it. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But then we wonder, is there ever a time when we will be that? And I'm not sure, because actually existences or lifetimes are meant to explore all the different parts of everything around us. So we are not meant to be, sometimes people will say, but I try to attain that spot. I get to that point and I'm only there for 5 seconds, 10 seconds. Oh, well, I went to one of those places and I just stayed there for a week and I felt so good and everything. And why can't I stay in that place? I think that quest, that command, or that just absolute craving for staying in that space is sometimes when people say, I don't know what to do, and then they give up.
Yeah, that's a problem, because, yes, we take ourselves off to retreats or to meetings or to or churches or whatever it might be. We feel wonderful there, then we come away and all the mechanics of life smite us in the face, and we think, oh, God, what do I do now? Well, the answer to it is that something of that stillness and peace still exists, albeit it's covered up by life stuff, but it is still there. It cannot be denied. So what's needed is some mechanism by which we can access it. Now, what is the mechanism by which we can access this peace at any time? The answer is to either meditate or be still or be quiet or whatever technique you find useful to bring the mind to quiet. Now, Dr. Jeanette, can I suggest this? If people listening, when they've finished listening, at the end of the day, take themselves outside and take a look at the night sky and look at the stars and look at the moon, what will happen is that they will feel a wow factor. Something really deep within will be stirred. Now, that's true for everybody listening to this program. Try it out and see if that's not right. Now, what is this wow factor? What is this the thing that we can so easily identify with? Well, it's nothing other than the thing that is inspired when it goes to meetings of spiritual quality like a church or a retreat. We have it within us. It's never, ever not available.
Right.
I've even been reading, I don't know whether you've read Viktor Frankl, or the readers or the listeners might have read a book by a chap called Viktor Frankl, who was a Jewish psychiatrist, and he ended up in one of the concentration camps in Germany in the war, and he survived it because deep within him he recognized a spirituality that gave life meaning. It's all about meaning. And so even under the most atrocious human conditions, it is possible for us to feel and be one with this spiritual entity. That's what my book is really all about.
Right, because I think the idea is that if we really would say, well, I've wasted all that time. You know, you hear people say that all the time. I've wasted all this time. I never quite got to the point. Or I've wasted all of that time and I didn't say I love you. I didn't feel unconditional love. I didn't hug someone when I should have. And we think about
it. Well, that's not helpful, is it? Because you haven't wasted the time. What all you're doing by going that road is to live in the past and not in the present. If you think you wasted your time by not giving enough love, start this minute to give the love.
Right, because if it's just this one moment and that's all that matters, you know, when I work with end-of-life clients, we always talk about that, and they'll say, well, I wasted so much time. I says, but there is no time.
Exactly. I'm sure you're right. Lovely. I couldn't agree more with that. You don't waste the time. What happened, happened. What hasn't happened, didn't happen. You just have to live in this moment. And if somebody's about to die, bless them, if that's the case. And if they've seen that there's been issues in their life, the best thing I think they could do is simply to surrender it and live life now, in these last few days of life, and that maybe there'll be some kind of equanimity. I mean, this is very much your area of expertise, and it's not mine. But I can understand that to be really present means surrendering whatever happened in the past. It's no good now saying I wasted my life. It achieves absolutely nothing.
Right. Now, let's talk for just one second. I want to do this in an overtone kind of thing.
Yeah.
I think let's talk in a little for a second also too. Here in the year 2020, many people have passed on and they didn't have a way of having closure. But when we look at it, we say the person who is maybe in the hospital on that journey is having their own closure, and that's only what it's all about. It isn't about the people you left behind. They have to figure out their own stuff. I think the idea is that we get so stuck to this that everyone's essence has to be tied up in everyone else's essence, and we have to fix it, support it, and blah, 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 blah. And that's really what really ties us up,
Well, no, I like that. We have to close with our own situation.
Right.
How do you do that? It's much more helpful, in my judgment, to consider without any stress from the past, any pressures from the past, any ideas about how we think we ought to have been, any ideas about how we think now we ought to behave. Just now, look at what happened.
Yeah, I think the biggest idea is that if you can just sit, close your eyes, and this is right where it brings you back. How do you close your presence? You close this existence being in that one moment of presence. That's all there is. So if you're, you know, something happens, it's just you close your eyes and you breathe. Because when you breathe, you're in this one space, and then you'll go to the next space. I think the idea is that it's something so much more grand. It's so much more, has to have so much
more. That sounds right. I mean, I think there's a magic word, Dr. Jeanette.
Yeah.
And the magic word is attention.
Yeah.
It doesn't sound very exciting, does it? But attention is key, and attention is king, because attention is actually focused consciousness. So wherever the attention goes is what determines how we react. And if we're going to consider properly what's gone on in the life, we need to be present so that the attention can be put to exactly what's being considered and not to our ideas about it. If we just stick with our ideas about it, you get left with an emotional fog and you don't actually close with the issues that you need to close with.
Right.
Does that make any sense?
Absolutely. Well, Michael, let's talk about this one thing in closing here today. When you just said about this, you know, emotional connections too, sometimes people will say, oh, but then I'm disconnected if I don't feel it. I'm disconnected if I don't engage in it. Well, am I engaged in someone else's emotions, dogma, or memories, or whatever? Or am I dredging up my own kind of stuff? And the answer is when you're in that one I am presence, that other stuff just doesn't even show up. It's almost as if you are just sit and breathe and that other stuff doesn't even I mean, I can honestly say to you, I mean, I'm in my 60s and I could say I danced the emotional train we all did, you know?
Sure, yes.
Yeah, but right now, if something came up, I'm kind of like, I just go, and stop for one half second, and that other stuff just doesn't show there. I think you really have to come to a point to experience it, if you can understand it.
You do raise a very good point with this. Let me put a little analogy before you. Let's suppose you're in a hospital, and you're a surgeon, and you're seeing somebody really suffering, and as a surgeon, you have the means whereby you can sort their suffering out by the operation. Now, that surgeon's job is to be totally one-pointed in the present so that the operation can be carried out without any fear or any wobbles of any sort. What is not helpful would be for the surgeon to break down in tears of sympathy for the person and become overwhelmed with thoughts and ideas and emotions. So the surgeon needs to be totally, totally still. That way, the love and the care with which that surgeon trained and became a surgeon is brought to bear fruit. Now, as it is for the surgeon, so it is for me, and so it is for you, and so it is for everybody listening. It doesn't mean that we are not compassionate. It means that we're more compassionate because we're focused in how we apply the compassion.
Right. Yeah, I think sometimes we want to be human. We want to be a spiritual being. We want to say, I'm free. And then we want to say, no, I don't. I want to be in it. So I think just as your book and our conversation today, we could say, you can have it all. And you don't have to, you're not sticking in one place. So all we're really talking about today by sharing your book, Mindfield Philosophy, is saying, there's just so much other things out there, and you know, and just be okay, right?
Yeah. Well, no, I very much appreciate it, and I've really valued the chance to have a lovely conversation. It's really good. I just wanted to say one final little thing, really, and that is that you can have it all. And
right.
The way
yeah.
you have it all is to renounce any idea that you want it all.
Right. Yeah, it's something that's a unique kind of dance, and well, just
yeah.
explored, and I think that's what we wanted to really share.
I know I'm talking riddles, and I know I'm talking
absolutely.
Paradox.
Absolutely, yes. Yes,
but
it's
the best way.
You know what, Michael? It's going back to what I said right in the beginning. When you talk riddles, we're going around all this stuff. It's sort of
yeah.
like when you go through that pinhole of that black hole and out the other end, there's a vast cosmos out there.
Well,
you're devoid of it all. So
Isn't that
the place?
I'd rather go with the white light than the black hole.
Oh, no. I like going through the black hole. You get squeezed out of all that stuff. Oh, yeah. Because then you have a choice. And then you get on the other side, then you're into another space. So.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. No, I'm very happy with that. Very happy with
that. A wonderful dance. Well, Michael, it was such a pleasure to speak with you today. Can you share with the listeners how to find out more information about your work?
Of course, yes. I'll hang on, of course. Yeah, the website is very brief, michaeljsmo.co.uk. It just gives a little bit of background about how I came to write a book called Mindful Philosophy. And it came out of when I was a little boy, I was a chorister. I don't know whether anybody knows what a chorister is, but I was a singer, a boy chorister. And in England, we have these very large medieval cathedrals. And one of them is called Ely Cathedral. And I was a chorister in this cathedral. And it's a massive, enormous medieval pile. And it's in the middle of nowhere. And when I was 9, 10, 11, I was singing the choir, and there'd be nobody listening because it was in the middle of nowhere. But it had an effect on me. It made me realize that there's something very important about the discipline of just doing the job now, in the present. And I didn't
right.
articulate it like that, but it really made me sit up and gave me a steer for life, if you like. Well, it's cut a long story short. I took to meditation, and all this is on the website, and joined an esoteric school, which I still belong to and tutor in it, and the book came out of that, really.
Very good. Well, Michael, it was such a pleasure to speak with you today because I think just as we said, we're dancing, enjoying all of this around us, and I think if
good.
We can just open our mind, that's the best place to be, right?
Oh, that's a very good point. Open the mind. There's nothing less helpful than the closed mind.
Yeah.
But yeah, you're dead right there.
Well, thank you so much for joining us today.
It's been my pleasure. I've thoroughly enjoyed every minute of it. May you all be very blessed.
Thank you. If you'd like to find out more information about Michael J. Snow, his book is Mindful Philosophy. Please do click on the link on the bottom of today's show page for more information to go directly to his website. It truly is about being able to say, wow, I don't know what's up, but I'm willing to go on another dance and let me leave all of my luggage behind. Take your credit card, take yourself, and go on a journey of the mind, body, and spirit. You never know where you'll end up, but you'll never know where you'll go through. And isn't that the fun of the existence? Thank you so much for joining us today. This is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher. Until tomorrow, have a great day.
Today we discussed many life-changing concepts. Who do you turn to, and how do you know what is best when faced with a health crisis? Dr. Jeanette is a patient advocate. She listens to the patient, the doctors, and the family, clarifies the health issues and concerns, then helps the patient make the best choices going forward. If you would like help implementing change into your life and health, we can talk and see where you are stuck and how to improve the quality of your life. Check the link on the bottom of today's show page or visit drjeanettegallagher.com to schedule a phone appointment today.